Time now to catch up with Jeff from A Cellar Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
You all made busy times.
Yes, well, I hope everybody's doing their best to stay healthy and stay safe, Peter. It is a different world we live in now to what it was 50 years ago. So, you know, and we have to adjust to it, Peter.
That's right.
You know, the... And we chatted briefly off the air. We don't want to dominate what's going on. So I think, you know, from our point of view, Peter, maybe we should just summarize the things that are going on for the way we see it, Peter, for our listeners. And, you know, it's I think the government is probably doing the right thing, except for a few real faux pas. I mean, letting 2,600 cruise ship people just walk off the boat and get on planes and fly all over Australia. Over 133 yesterday, probably by today it'll be 200 of them, have tested positive for coronavirus. I mean, it's even the United States, which seems a bit inept at this time, has taken the people from cruise ships and taken them to army bases for 14 days quarantine.
Yeah, I mean, well, I wonder which clever little veggie might organize that.
Oh, well, yeah, some government minion that missed the memo, Peter. Probably missed more than the memo, I think. I mean, that's about the most ridiculous thing. Look, I understand totally. You can't leave. I mean, you have to be compassionate. You can't leave thousands of people. And we got three more ships out there, Peter, because they're not closing until the 30th, I don't think, or the end of the month. But, you know, you have to do something with them. But you can't just turn them loose in society. You know, at least follow the examples that the U.S. set and get special buses and take them to an army base for 14 days and wait until the virus has run its course. But just turning them loose, and people got on planes and flew all over the world from that cruise ship. So that was pretty silly. But generally speaking, I think they're probably doing the right thing now. You know, I think for a short period of time, and, you know, if we don't get on top of this in 2 weeks, we're in serious trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, closing clubs and pubs more important, I think, than closing restaurants. I don't think they should have closed restaurants. I think what they should have done was social distancing. You know, make restaurants, operate at half their capacity so that they have, table separation.
I have visions of one of these really long tables with, you know, I'm down one end, and the other person is way up the other end, and you can't say, please pass the salt. You've got to say, would you throw the salt?
I know, but, you know, you can go overboard. I think yesterday they announced no funerals and no weddings. Well, I think that's good. I mean, they had that wedding in Stanwell Park, and 35 people got the virus from it, Peter.
Ridiculous.
You know, so you can't. Yeah, you've got to do those things. But, you know, you can't lock people up for, you know, month on end and expect them to, you know, unless you're going to use the army to keep them in their houses. You need the people's cooperation. So you got to do something. Do it short term. Everybody stays away. The virus runs its course. Its incubation period's 5 days. So 10 days even is two incubation periods. Whatever's going to run is going to run in that time period, Peter. And you're going to drop the cases significantly. You may not eliminate them all, but you put them back into a situation where they can be handled and prime carriers can be identified again. And, you know, so even if you take the screws off and run for 2 or 3, 4 weeks, and they start climbing again, and you put it on again. You can't just leave it on for 3 months.
That's right.
You know, you're bankrupting everybody. A million people at Centrelink. You know, it's just the country can't stand it.
No, and you're not helping. Website.
No, you're not helping Peter. It's a mentality, you know, that doesn't understand how the average citizen operates. And look, again, the government's bushfire grant disaster program was a sham, absolute sham. It sounded good, you know, and it sounded good to city people, which are the electorate. Look what they're doing for farmers. They're doing nothing, Peter. Nobody qualifies. You can spend 50 hours on the phone with people. Nobody qualifies. The same thing they're doing now with, you know, the grants. They're going to give people welfare, you know, and they're giving pensioners $750. I have nothing against that. It's great. Go out and spend it. That's going to do Coles and Woolworths and all those people that really need the money, Peter. It's going to do them really well. Mm-hmm. But you know what they're doing for businesses? Look, if you don't fire your people, we'll give you a subsidy. Hey, my business is closed. What the hell's a subsidy going to do for me? You know, so I can keep my staff. You give me half the money for my staff, and I got to pay the other half, and I got no business. I'm going bankrupt.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to have employment. Don't worry about, you know, how can businesses keep employees when they've been shut down?
It's ridiculous.
It is. They, you know, they have no idea. These things look good. But everybody knows that they're useless, you know? And then, look, more credit. I'm glad they're going to give pensioners money. And if anybody, you know, I can tell you this, that the only thing that's applicable for people that are in small business or for farmers are loans, loans from the government, low-interest loans. But the backlog is months and months and months. Now, can you imagine a million people at Centrelink? The government's going to hire half those people to process the applications. The only people working are the government.
Yeah, so, you wonder. Your mind boggles, doesn't it?
It does. And I, you know, you look at other countries, like social orders breaking down in some places. I don't know if you read this morning that there's a rest home with a lot of dead elderly people in Spain has been abandoned. The staff just had enough, left the building, left the people dead in their beds, you know, and went home. Said, it's not my problem anymore. And that social order is breaking down, Peter, because that's not enough support. And they probably spent days and days, you know, trying to get support and didn't, and said, okay, well, look, it's not my problem. I got to look after myself and my family, and I'm going home. And that's when social order breaks down. And if your regulations, and they are in Spain, everything's shut, everything's closed, you can't do anything. If your regulations get to the point where the average citizen gives up, social order breaks down.
Yep, the whole lot just crashes. That's it.
Exactly. And that's why governments have got to be very careful about what they do. And I think sometimes, you know, they're going to have to be a little more understanding, you know, of what happens. And I don't condone the Bondi Beach thing, but I think that there was probably better solutions. Than what they did, just shutting everything down. You can't shut everything down. You can do it for a small period of time. But you can say, okay, put up a sign, beach closed for 10 days or 14 days. And then you open it again. But you close the facilities. And you put a time limit. You're going for a swim, not to lay on the beach. Okay, you got 1 hour and that's it. All the facilities are closed. Toilets are closed. You know, everything's closed. If you want to go for a dip, you go down for a dip and you go home, or you go back to your apartment or whatever, something, you know, because you cannot stop. If you try and lock people up for too long, they will revolt in the end. And then you've got to use the police to round them up and do whatever the heck you're going to do. So, but generally speaking, the things that are in place now are good for short term, but they can't go long term. But the only problem I have with it, Peter, is they shut the borders and stopped the travel and made all these recommendations. Now, it didn't run its course because an incubation period is 5 days. So give it 7 days, which was to Monday or Tuesday this week, yesterday. But they introduced like six more things before they even saw if it had an effect. Now, I don't disagree with that, but let's put a stake now and say, okay, we've done all these things. See what happens in 6 to 7 days, which is one cycle. You know, and if we've made significant impact and it starts to drop off, if we stop letting people off cruise ships that are infected, then we know what we've done is right. So within another 6 days or a week of that, you can loosen the screws up.
That's right.
So, yeah. Anyway, Peter, we'll have to see what happens. We're in that transitional period now that clamped everything down, ruined everybody's businesses. Heartbreaking, some of these stories that you read about people, you know, and you know, it's a joke. I was reading about some poor woman just opened her cafe in Sydney, and you know, and the government's going to give her a little subsidy if she keeps her staff, and she has no business, she can't pay her rent, she can't do anything, she put everything into the cafe. You know, it's just the government has no understanding. They get their fat check and they'll get their fat pensions. So will all the civil servants that are running around making these hysterical statements while the rest of the country just goes to hell in a beanbasket.
Yeah, well, let's see what they've got for us today and tomorrow. I guess, you know, I don't wish to be cynical, but well, maybe it's more of the same.
Yeah, I have a feeling it is. And Australia's still in a good position compared to the rest of the world. If we don't mess this up and everybody takes their responsibility seriously, we should be over this in short order, Peter, because we still don't have many cases. We're still in summer, you know, not in flu season. Because, as you know, our son is in Canada at the moment. He's in Calgary. There's still snow on the ground there. He said the problem they have there, sure, Calgary's only showing, you know, similar cases to, say, Brisbane, you know, I don't know, 200 cases or whatever, and 40 or 50 a day. But everybody you run into has got the flu.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because it's flu season. You know, so three quarters of the population's got the flu. How do you differentiate when you get a cough, you know? So if we're still in this when flu season comes, I would say everybody should race out and get a flu shot. At least then you can determine whether you've caught the virus or whether you've got the flu. So, but anyway, Peter, moving on. We're going to have to give up sushi, Peter. You know, there's a article. I do too. I eat it all the time in sashimi. But a study came out of the University of Washington, which happens to be in Washington State, not Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. But University of Washington, over the past 40 years, sushi and sashimi parasites have increased 283-fold. Now, that's not 283%, that's 28,300% in parasites. Yeah, so it's getting to the point, obviously, where eating raw fish is becoming a hazard to your health, Peter, which is, you know, I don't know what they're going to do there. They're going to have a process to make sure that, you know, sushi and sashimi, I don't know what you do, you know, you can't zap it. So I don't know what the answer is there, Peter, but that's not a good development. It's a sign of our times.
Yeah.
You know, in 40 years, the fish have got hundreds and hundreds of more time parasites in them. So we got to even worry about our own fish. At least we got to make sure we cook it well now.
Yeah, so. Never a dull moment, as they say.
It is. It is a worry. There's a couple of other quick things. They found now that the father's diet has a particular bearing on a child's adult health and diseases. And a low-protein diet in particular, Peter, is related to metabolic disorders in their children, if the father has a low-protein diet, particularly diabetes.
Yeah.
So that came out of RIKEN Research Center. So that makes you wonder about vegetarians. You know, if they're not eating a heck of a lot of tofu, soya bean, which is one of the few really heavy, high protein things available to vegetarians, then you have to worry about what they're passing on to their children. So that's something to be concerned about, I think, Peter.
Another thing to be concerned about is the meat is in very, you were talking about protein, meat is in short supply in a number of areas.
Yes, well, it's one of the few things that was left on the supermarket shelves, Peter. They cleaned everything out, you know. I don't know. It's and it's not just in Australia. It's a worldwide thing. You see pictures of supermarkets in the UK, and our son was telling us he went down to the supermarket and thought he better buy a little bit of stuff. He said, you know, it was pretty much cleaned out.
Yeah.
So I think it's a worldwide phenomenon. You know what I mean, Peter? So anyway, it's and there was another one that was quite interesting. Out of the University of Georgia, they've now determined that the natural killer cells, which are the white blood cells that attack infections in the body, tumors and things, provide the first line of defense against viruses. Probably the coronavirus as well, but they found now that it can stop Parkinson's and even reverse Parkinson's. Yeah. So now there's lots of research going on to figure out how to make the body's natural killer cells more active, because they realize now that they've known for a long time that Parkinson's is not a brain disease. It's more to do with the central nervous system and the immune system not functioning correctly. So that was an interesting one, because that's about the second or third Parkinson's one that we've had in the last month, Peter. So they're starting to make some progress there.
It's good too. So the old shake, rattle, and roll might be a thing of the past for those people. I know a couple of people that suffer from that, and it's not very kind.
No, it's a debilitating disease, and it's I have a good friend that has it as well, so I send him all this information as well. But you know, he's quite well progressed too, Peter. Well, we're born in a generation that can do a lot of things, but not the generation that can do everything, Peter. So
see what comes.
Yeah, we hope for the best in those. So, and you know, again, go back to maybe we should do the organic wine thing first. We're in the middle of one of our packs, Peter, and we've had so many emails from people saying, you know, sitting down having a nice glass of organic wine in this time of trouble, you know, and they're working at home or they're not working at home, they're just homebound. You know, how much they appreciate just being able to sit back and relax, because very difficult to do in these times, Peter. So,
oh, I'll say.
Yeah, nice glass of organic wine, Peter. And as we say, acellawines.com.au, or call us on the phone. You can still come to the vineyard. We're not allowed to do wine tasting, although we do all our wine tasting outside, and we have plenty of social distancing. In fact, I see the government just realized they put everybody out of business. So they now, people with takeout food, restaurants and that, they can give takeout drinks as well, alcohol. So they've relaxed the alcohol laws. We always could give somebody a bottle on that, but apparently we can pour it in a glass now and let them take it away, which doesn't seem logical for a cellar door, and we would not do it. But, you know, here's the ridiculous thing about it, Peter. We can have visitors, you know, come and sit outside, and we can serve them coffee, you know, but we can't have them taste wine, unless they were personal friends or something, and we're not charging for it. But, you know, it's it just doesn't make a lot of sense in remote areas like we are, to have these types of regulations. They should have gone back to the system. They went to 500, then they went to 100. They should have gone to 10 or 5.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to see a situation develop where, you know, you pay, you know, $25 for the use of the tablecloth and the drinks are free.
Yeah, I think that's sort of where we're heading. I mean, you can't stop everything. We have so many local people here that just drop in and get a bottle or a bottle two at a time. Now, they're okay. They can continue to do that. But they're friends, you know, as well, and in the neighborhood. So I don't know. They have to do something. They can't leave these restaurants. Excuse me. Maybe big clubs, you know, are different. But they can't leave these coffee shops and restaurants closed like they're doing, Peter.
Delivery is still available?
Something has to be done. Sorry?
Are deliveries still available?
Yes. Oh, yes. We're sending out wine. We're in the middle of a pack. We sent about probably 75 cases yesterday, and we'll probably send pretty much the same today, maybe a little bit less. But we're going to be sending out cases of wine for the next week, Peter, because we're doing the April pack at the moment.
Oh, right.
Which we ran a little bit early because of the bushfires and everything else. So, and our friends of a cellar are happy to do that, Peter, because they wait for the packs, because we have a regular friend of a cellar discount of 15% off our wine, but our packs are actually 25% off.
Wow.
And so our friends of a cellar like to see the packs come along. And then our Christmas pack last year, Peter, we gave 32 to 45% off to reward all our friends of a cellar. So
Wow. You
can pick up pretty nice wine for a very reasonable price, Peter.
And how do they do that?
How do they do that? They get in contact with us here at acellawines.com.au or just call us at 657-45275, Peter. And we're happy to look after them.
Fantastic. All right, mate, catch up with you again very soon.
Yeah, okay. Well, if something really develops, Peter, maybe we'll put an extra radio program on.
I think that's a great idea, mate. How about next Monday?
Okay. Yeah, sure. That sounds good to me.
All right, mate.
We'll talk to you then.
Thank you, mate. Acellawine.com.au. Yeah, jump on the computer. Do it now.